Summer League basketball started, and people could not wait to see the Grizzlies' number one pick, Jake LaRavia, the player that the Grizzlies traded up to 19 to get. He looked sensational in his first game. Then he hit a roadblock. Everyone wondered, what happened to Jake LaRavia? Is there something going on? Is there something to this? Or is it just Summer League? Well, guess what? Coming up on Locked On Grizzlies, we're going to break it all down right here. What happened to Jake LaRavia in Summer League? Is it true or is it just a bluff thing? We got you covered right here, coming up on Locked On Grizzlies.
You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to Locked On Grizzlies. I am your host today, DeMichael Cole, beat writer for the Commercial Appeal here in Memphis, Tennessee. Spent the entire time out in Vegas for Summer League. Finally got to come back home. So good to be back home in my own bed. A lot of people thought when I left Vegas, I'd be able to get away from some 110, 111, 112 degree weather that I'd be just fine. But actually, came back to Memphis and it will say, hello, welcome back to 99 degrees. So all is well, though. A lot of things going on the Grizzlies front. It is the offseason. Things will start to slow down. But first and foremost, we thank you and appreciate you for making Locked On Grizzlies one of your first listens each and every day, and continue to do so. Make sure you subscribe to our content. We recently hit 1,000 subscribers on YouTube, so we appreciate everyone who is consistently tuned in, who's subscribing to the content on YouTube. Much appreciation for all of that. Make sure you continue to comment as well. Your comments are a big key for us in terms of how we know where to go with the content from here, what you want to see, what you want to hear, what do you want to find out from us, and things of that nature. So we appreciate all the Locked On Grizzlies listeners. Make sure you're listening everywhere. We're everywhere, like the air, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you go to get your podcast. If you want to go watch it, you can go to YouTube. If you want to listen, you can go to some of the apps and places that I just mentioned. Locked On Grizzlies is everywhere. Speaking of everywhere, opinions were everywhere when the Grizzlies traded up to 19 to get Jake LaRavia out of Wake Forest, a guy who we had seen mentioned in some way, shape, or form as a guy that the Grizzlies were interested in. But this wasn't a guy that I didn't see on any mock drafts. I didn't have it on my mock draft that the Grizzlies were targeting at 22. But the Grizzlies front office, talking to the guys, Zach Kleiman, they basically said this was their guy. And they proved it. The Grizzlies traded their 22nd and 29th picks in the first round. Their two first-round picks to move up three spots up to 19 to get Jake LaRavia, 6'7 wing, good size, good shooting stroke, could move very well. He was the one who, if you remember in the introductory press conference, all the Grizzlies rookies were asked about their trash talk, and he was the one who basically said, you know, yeah, I talk trash. So when you saw that, you knew this guy would, you know, fit in just well with, you know, these guys off of the court and just, you know, the personality of the team here. But Jake LaRavia of the rookies had probably the most interesting summer league in terms of you don't know what to do with it. And what I mean by that is there was the first game, he shot the ball well, and there was every other game. And people are really trying to figure out, what do you take from Jake LaRavia in summer league? You know what you can take from David Roddy. David Roddy showed you, as I mentioned, he's the energy, the hustle. The Grizzlies have to figure out what position they play him in and all of that. But you know you're going to get hustle stats and points from David Roddy each night. Kennedy Chandler, still a lot of work in process, but he's not a guy that you're going to have to really depend on this season, or you're not planning to depend on if Ja Morant and Tyus Jones are on the floor. Vince Williams is a two-way guy. Kenneth Lofton Jr., as well as he played on the offensive end, as of this moment, he's still a two-way guy. When it comes down to the rookies you expect to play and play often, David Roddy and Jake Laravia headlined that list. So let's go back to the first game. Jake Laravia comes out, boom, 4 of 9 from the field, 4 of 7 from three-point range. We just mentioned the shoot stroke. You're going to see me mention it a couple more times because it's pure. He has an easily transferable shot to the NBA, one of those shots where range and all that, it doesn't matter. It is so smooth. And I watched him after that, just watching him in practice and just watching him continually shoot the ball. And it's consistent. It's fluid. So the shooting stroke, automatically, when you see someone who has a shooting stroke like that, throw those summer league numbers out of the window. Because when you shoot the ball the way he did, it always goes back to the mean. What I mean by the mean is his numbers are going to even out. Keep that in mind as well. But the concern came in terms of Jake Laravia's numbers throughout the rest of summer league play. 13 points, 4 of 7 from three-point range, 4 of 9 overall. He didn't take 9 shots in another summer league game. He didn't take more than 7 shots. Just like he took 7 three-pointers in the first game, he didn't take more than 7 shots in any of the remaining summer league games that he played in. On top of that, 13 points in the first game, he did not top 6 points in the last 5 summer league games that he played. Let's look at the numbers. 6 points, 3 of 7 shooting in his second game. 6 points, 2 of 4 shooting in his third game. And you thought that was low, and he hit a whole different low from scoring in his final 3 games. 2 points, 2 points, 0 points. Mind you, one of those 2-point efforts against the Brooklyn Nets was when the Grizzlies tied the summer league record, 120 points. The Grizzlies scored 120 points. Jake Laravia, for my money, I thought in that game in particular, had a really good game, 4 rebounds, 5 assists. That was the most active game offensively since that first game in Salt Lake City against the Philadelphia 76ers. But in that game, he was super active, and you saw it. The result was 2 points, but he had 4 boards and 5 assists. The assists almost surprised me in a way because I hadn't seen that as much on the film, or we just hadn't seen him be put in situations to create those assists. But people wonder, what was the problem? Well, there's just two things that I'm going to point out off of the jump here. One of them is shot release. So we talked about, the shot's smooth, right? But he seems so far to have a slower release. And I think that plays a role in this. We've seen this a couple times. If you look at, some of the shooters in the NBA now, I think, LeBron James had to tweak his jumper some. A lot of guys, when they first come into the NBA, especially you're making the jump like Jake Laravia did, he played 1 season in the ACC. I think he played 3 years overall in college, but 1 year in the ACC, which was the higher. He moved up to the ACC, and he jumped to the NBA. So there's a big speed adjustment here that he's undergoing. And as a shooter, especially someone like him, who we saw in summer league, was a spot-up shooter for the most part, that's an adjustment. So here's the thing. With Jake Laravia, you saw him on the court. He didn't cut that much. He didn't do much off the ball. The Grizzlies, he is a priority on offense, according to what the people were saying to me. They wanted to get him the ball. They wanted to give him scoring chances and things like that. But I think part of the problem that we saw when he had 2 points, and when he put up a donut in his final summer league game, there was some hesitancy there too. So we're going to get to that. We're going to talk more about what I heard from the people who I've talked to in terms of, the Grizzlies staff, coaches and things like that from the Jake Laravia side of things. And also just a couple more observations as well. But before we get to that, I want to talk to you about Built Bar. Is the observation that I've gotten from Built Bar is it's 100% one of the best chocolate bar options you can go get right now. I mean, you got mint brownie. You got the coconut. You got the coconut almond. You got the white chocolate cookies and cream. And it's 100% real chocolate. You can't beat that. You can't beat it. It's 100% real chocolate. You go out here and get these other chocolate bars. Well, this is a little bit healthier too. So not only are you getting 100% real chocolate, but you're also getting a chocolate bar that's healthier than a lot of these other options out here. So we're talking about Built Bars being covered in 100% real chocolate, and they're easy to get. And if you, since you're a Locked On Grizzlies listener, we got a certain deal for you. All you have to do is go to built.com right now. Use the promo code LOCKED15, LOCKED 15. Put in the promo code LOCKED15 and you can get 15% off of your Built Bar order. Go take advantage of it right now. That's built.com. Put in your promo code LOCKED15 and you can take advantage of this order. Once again, we appreciate you for tuning in to Locked On Grizzlies. We cannot thank you enough, all the listeners, all the viewers, all the subscribers. We truly appreciate you. And I want to talk to you about the NFL Top 50, because which NFL stars move the betting line the most? I have a couple names in mind. But guess what? We started this a couple days ago. It started on July 18th. Locked On is now giving you the 50 most valuable players in the NFL from the odds makers. And that's with Bet Online. We talk about Bet Online and the relationship with Bet Online. All you have to do, it's available now. You go to the Locked On NFL, wherever you get your podcasts, or you can go to YouTube, tune in to Locked On NFL, and Locked On NFL will tell you which stars move the betting line the most via the odds makers at Bet Online. So football season is around the corner. Training camp just started for a couple teams. Training camp will start for every other team by the end of next week. And preseason games are almost here. It's almost football season. I love the smell of the air when we get close to football season. But right now we're talking about Grizzlies basketball. And we're talking about one player in particular, Jake Blarecki, because this was the top pick. And Zach Kleiman has been money on his top picks lately. And when you saw that first game, you saw the way Jake LaRavia played, everyone said, Zach Kleiman did it again. He did it again. Well, it looked really good for a stretch, but now a lot of questions have formed. And, you know, there's people asking questions. What's going on with Jake LaRavia? I've asked the question. I've talked to the Grizzlies coach David McClure. I've talked to, you know, his teammates about how they could get him the ball and things like that. And pretty interesting responses overall. I think when Jake LaRavia first came in, and also I talked to Jake LaRavia. When Jake LaRavia first came in, he had that great game, had that great shooting game. For one, looking back at the summer league film, defenses did start to key on LaRavia a little bit more. Nothing that looks out of the ordinary. Basically, to my point saying that is he still could have averaged double figures. Still could have averaged double figures. Teams weren't, you know, double teaming or anything like that. You just had more defensive players trying to stay attached to him. But at the end of the day, Zaire Williams, as long as he was on the court, he was a top option, you know, to slow down for a lot of those teams. Santi Aldama, when he got hot over that two-game stretch, he became a bigger focal point for opponents as well. But David McClure gave me the most interesting answer, I think, of anyone in terms of what's going on with Jake LaRavia. Because this is one of those things where if you're just casually watching the game, you won't notice it. But once a coach says it and then you pay attention, you're like, ah, I see it. And this happens throughout the NBA. This is not just a Grizzlies thing. This is something that happens in the NBA. We talked about Jake LaRavia. The biggest difference between the roles he and David Roddy had, just from noticing things, is Roddy is much more aggressive as a mover on offense. He sets screens because he plays the four a little bit more. He's crashing the glass. He's, you know, fighting for boards a little bit more. He's cutting a little bit harder. That's what you get out of David Roddy. What you're getting more from Jake LaRavia is you're getting this spot-up shooter who's going to space the floor and make things easier on his teammates. And he didn't have an opportunity or as much of an opportunity to make things easier on his teammates, because as we saw throughout the course of Summer League, it was hard for the Grizzlies to get into their offense. What was the biggest reason that was? Well, if you look at your point guard and Kennedy Chandler, he's learning how to play with all these dudes. And the one guy he knew how to play with was Kenneth Lofton, just from their time previously playing, you know, with Team USA. And he mentioned to me, he told me, hey, you know, a lot of his assists go to Kenny Lofton because of that rapport that they have. There is a comfort level there. As a point guard, jumping in and learning to play with these guys on the fly like that, there's some difficulty to that. Kennedy Chandler experienced that. Here's the thing, though. With Zaire Williams playing the point guard, it was great developments there. I think Zaire Williams, you go check out my grades, my summer league grades on commercialappeal.com. I wrote a story, and Zaire Williams was one of my highest graded players on the Grizzlies in summer league. And the reason is because of that experience on the ball, what it's going to do for him in terms of when he is playing in the NBA next season. But the downside of that was there was a steep learning curve, and the learning curve affected Jake LaRavia as much as anyone. It affected the Grizzlies shooting overall. That's why we saw the Grizzlies have a game where they made 2 3-pointers, had a game where they made, I think, 3 or 4 3-pointers. They had 2 games, less than 5 3-pointers made and more than 20 3-pointers attempted. Crazy numbers. But here's the biggest reason why. Physicality. Teams emphasize playing physical against the Grizzlies. How did they do that? Pushing the offense out further. Picking up Zaire Williams at half court when he's the point guard. Picking up Kenny Chandler at half court when he's the point guard. What does that do for the Grizzly? That completely takes you out of your offense. Whereas Jake LaRavia is used to starting in a corner spot, and the ball handler has the ball at the top of the key or at the 3-point line. And you just run your offense. You get it to Zaire Williams, you know, in the motion. And there's one kick to Jake LaRavia. There's a pick and all that. Like, very smooth, simple offense. The stuff that you run in practice. Well, the thing about this is when you push the Grizzlies' offense out, the shooters, they can't get open. There's no space there. The ball handler is uncomfortable. When the ball handler is uncomfortable, like we saw with Zaire Williams, he made a lot of early passes to give the ball up. And Jake LaRavia was the most affected by this of anyone on the team. He didn't get as many easy shots. He didn't, you know, get open as much. And we saw that. I mean, it wasn't the fact that he was just really missing shots. As I mentioned, he went 3 of 7, 2 of 4, 1 of 5, 1 of 3, 0 for 2. Out of those games, the 1 of 5 is the only one that stands out in terms of missing. 0 for 2, 1 for 3, a lot of players start games like that. That's pretty typical. But the other two games, 3 of 7 and 2 of 4, you'll take that all day. If you multiply that over the course of a game with more shot attempts, you'll take those averages, a 3 of 7 night or a 2 of 4 night from the field. That's 50%. So with that being said, the problem with Jake LaRavia came mainly because he couldn't get shot attempts. But then David McClure also said that they felt that over the course of summer league, you know, Jake LaRavia did turn down some shots. How does that happen? Well, and if you go look at the last summer league game that Jake LaRavia played in against the Boston Celtics, in that game, the Grizzlies put him on the ball a little bit more. He had situations where he played on the ball, got some pick and roll situations, and he also played off of the ball, you know, and got opportunities in terms of they got the ball to him, but he wasn't shooting. So from the Grizzlies' perspective, there were some missed opportunities there in terms of shot attempts. Jake LaRavia had some shot opportunities that the Grizzlies felt like he should take advantage of, and there's a reason for me. Personally, I think he will take advantage of those shots over the course of time. I'm going to dig in more on that in a second. So next up, we're going to talk about why Jake LaRavia and what Jake LaRavia will do in terms of how he impacts the Grizzlies' rotation coming up in the regular season. So We just mentioned, you know, what everyone's talking about. We mentioned the performances and everything's there. But with all that being said, I have to say this. Take Summer League with a grain of salt. It's a thing every year. You go back, you look at the list of Summer League MVPs. There are a few names on there that are notable, and then there are names on there who are just that. They're Summer League MVPs, and that's one of the biggest highlights of their careers. Summer League is about development. I've said this a couple times on here already, and you watch Summer League as a Grizzlies fan, as an NBA fan, but particularly with this Grizzlies team. They sent all these guys out to Summer League because the emphasis is development. If the primary focus was winning, I think the Grizzlies probably could have won a couple more games. But no, they wanted to make Zaire Williams uncomfortable. They wanted to throw Santi Aldama, you know, out there in those situations. They wanted David Roddy to go from playing small ball five in college and a lot of small ball four to playing the three at times. They wanted Jake LaRavia, you know, to be put in the situations he's in. They wanted Kennedy Chandler to run the Grizzly style of offense. They wanted Kenneth Lofton Jr. to learn how to pass the ball quicker and take the ball out of his hands as much and not be as much of a ball stopper in certain situations. All of that was completely developmental things, things that the players probably have were strengths. They said, no, we know you're good at that. We want you to get better at this. That was the focus from the Grizzlies side of things. And with all of that being said, I think there's reason to believe that Jake LaRavia, of all the rookies that we've seen, is still probably the most polished in terms of what he's going to bring to the Grizzlies roster next season. So I just mentioned his biggest weapon, his biggest attribute is the smooth shooting stroke. You look at the way this guy shoots the ball. I put him on my list, my three-point shootout list. If you go look at couple episodes ago on Locked On Grizzlies, me and Sean Coleman did an episode where we discussed which Grizzlies players would do well in all-star competitions, you know, slam dunk contest, skills challenge, three-point contest. And I put Jake LaRavia on my three-point contest list because of that smooth shooting stroke. I'm not saying it's just because of the games. I've seen him in practice. I've seen him warming up before games. It's there. Shooting ability is there. He's going to have that from day one in the league. I don't see this guy shooting under 35% from three-point range. And the biggest reason why I don't see that happening is because he's going to be on the floor with Ja Morant and Tyus Jones. Start with Ja Morant. For one, Ja Morant just led the NBA in paint points per game. If you watched that series against the Minnesota Timberwolves, the Timberwolves, unlike any team I saw this season, they said, Ja Morant is not going to beat us by scoring in the paint. The Grizzlies had no choice but to have someone else to step up and win that series. And that's when Desmond Bane and Brandon Clark did what they did for the Grizzlies to win that series in six games. But with the way that Ja Morant attacks the paint and the level that he's playing at, you got to remember Ja's 22 years old. Ja's going to be doing this for a while. What's the best way to compliment a guy like that? You have Desmond Bane, right? Desmond Bane, Ja Morant, probably, for my money, one of the best complementary backcourts in the NBA. You know, you just can't get it much better than that. You have this elite paint scorer. Oh, let's pair him with an elite shooter. The Grizzlies have that. But you need more than one shooter. You watch the Golden State series, Golden State stayed attached to Desmond Bane. He was dealing with the back issues, so he probably wasn't able to separate at the same level that we're used to seeing Desmond Bane separate at. But Golden State, it was an emphasis. I was sitting, you know, near the court. You would hear them scream, shooter. You would hear them, you know, call out Desmond Bane off of screens and things like that. They emphasized slowing him down. Steve Kerr even talked about it. You know, he talked about choosing between Ja Morant and Desmond Bane. And by the numbers, it just looked like he chose Desmond Bane because Ja Morant was having a heck of a series before he suffered, you know, his knee injury that ultimately led to him missing the rest of that series. So how does Jake LaRavia factor into this? Well, let's look at the lineup like this. Ja Morant, Desmond Bane, You possibly Zaire Williams, Dylan Brooks, whoever you want to put there. And you throw in Jake LaRavia, who can play the three, who can play the four, even though he's told me he's more comfortable on the wing. There's a chance you could see him playing that four at 6'7". He has really good size, around 220 pounds. And if you put these guys on the floor, Ja Morant's driving to the basket. Who do you help off of? You're not helping off of Desmond Bane, period. That's not happening. Do you help off of Zaire Williams? 36% from three-point range, and, you know, from February and on. And as we saw in Summer League, the guy has a pull-up three-pointer now. He has consistent mechanics. And we talked about having a faster release with Jake LaRavia. Watch Zaire Williams' release. Go back and make sure you keep an eye on last season to this year. He's going to have a quicker release, and that's going to speed up his shot a little bit, which is going to help him get his shot off in terms of, you know, contested defenders and things like that. And he's going to shoot the ball better. That leaves Jake LaRavia. Jake LaRavia is going to be another shooter. He's going to be the guy because you're going to have to help. You're going to have to help when Ja Morant is driving to the rim. He's going to be a guy who gets a lot of open shots, and it's going to come down to if he can make it or if he can miss it. I think he'll be put in situations where he can make those shots. And the same goes in situations with Tyus Jones. Right now, Tyus Jones is your backup guard, point guard. I feel like if you're looking at the current rotation, David Roddy and Jake LaRavia are projected to be in that second team rotation with a guy like Zaire Williams, with a guy like John Conchar. The thing about that rotation is with David Roddy, you have the guy who I mentioned. He's the energy guy. He's going to make the plays, grabbing offensive rebounds, taking the ball off the glass, kickouts. But David Roddy's three-point shooting is there. Made a couple three-pointers in his last game, and he has a nice stroke as well. But Jake LaRavia has the more repeatable form that's going to translate to the league. And that's why that's one of the things that makes him the most ready, because at the end of the day with the Grizzlies, they don't, you know, people were saying, oh, the Grizzlies went and got, you know, they traded up to get a specialist and things like that. But the Grizzlies have their core, right? We've done episodes where we talked about the Grizzlies and potential trade candidates out there, you know, if you want to go star hunting, like a Bradley Beal, like a Kevin Durant. And for the most part, there have been people who said, you know, in the Locked On Grizzlies comments that they would make those deals. But for the most part, a lot of you have said, no, we like our core. We're not giving up Desmond Bane. We're not giving up Jaren Jackson Jr. And if you truly feel that way, you believe that the Grizzlies have Ja, Darren, they have Ja, they have Desmond Bane, and you have Jaren Jackson Jr. to build around. And if you're building around those guys, all you need is complementary players. Players who are going to play great defense. Players who are going to rebound. Players who are going to block shot. Because at the end of the day, the ball can only be in one player's hands. You need players who don't need the ball that much to win NBA championships. Just go through the history. Just go through the history of basketball. Every team has a player who is very good but doesn't need the basketball as much to be impactful. Like last season, I mean, Klay Thompson, perfect example for Golden State throughout this run. He doesn't have to touch the basketball a lot. He doesn't have to touch the basketball on every possession, come off 16 down, springs, run, pick and roll, kick it out to shooters and things like that. He just needs the ball to take his shots, to, you know, get to his mid-range jumper, to take his three-pointers and things like that, whereas Steph Curry, you want him to touch the ball a little bit more. That's the situation the Grizzlies are in. Desmond Bane's going to get his pick and roll opportunities. We saw him incorporate that pick and roll mid-range shot that he has. Zaire Williams is going to have that same shot in his bag this season. He's going to get to that shot. Ja Morant, we see what Ja Morant has done with the ball in his hands this season and many other years. So the ball can't be in too many more guys' hands at the end of the day. And that's where Jake LaRavia comes in. He's a guy who doesn't need the basketball, which is going to be perfect. If he was put in a situation where he needs the basketball, where you're saying, hey, Jake LaRavia, go run pick and roll. Go run a 3-4, 3-5 pick and roll and, you know, kick it out to the shooters, you know, find out what type of defense they're playing, make sure you read the defenses, things like that. You're putting him in a real tough spot, and he hasn't shown that yet. But the thing is, he doesn't need to show that. So just because the role is a minimized role, you need someone who is really good at what you need them to do. What you need Jake Arrieta to do is shoot the ball. Of the rookies, he's the best at that. So throw the summer league numbers out the window. Because at the end of the day, Ja Morant wasn't on that floor. Tyus Jones wasn't on that floor. I still think Jake Arrieta is turned out to be a really good draft pick. I think he's going to be a big contributor to this season. We'll talk more later on about if he's going to be a potential starter while Jaren Jackson Jr. is out. You have preseason games where some of that stuff will unfold as well. So I think the situation is going to be much better than what we saw in summer league for Jake Arrieta. He's simply going to be much more comfortable. He even told me, I didn't even mention this on the episode, Jake Arrieta said it. He said he's very comfortable with the Grizzlies' style of play because it's similar to how he played in college. That cannot be understated. That cannot be underestimated. If he's comfortable in the system, at this point you're adjusting to the game speed and everything else will fall into place. So we're talking more about these summer league guys, these summer league players, and just what's going on around the Grizzlies on our next episode. But before you go, I mean, first, again, thank you for making Locked On Grizzlies your first listen. But your second listen, I mean, you know, it always should be Locked On NBA. Just make sure every single day, right, 30 minutes of your day on the way to work, you're walking around the house, you're cleaning up. Locked On NBA is your daily NBA update in just 30 minutes. The offseason, I think Locked On NBA comes in handy the most. Why? Because it's so much going on, right? This team just signed this player. This team released this player. This team waived that guy. This team has this guy. This team wants this guy. Go to Locked On NBA. You can find out all of that in just 30 minutes. Everything you want to know. That's Locked On NBA. But we appreciate you again for tuning in to Locked On Grizzlies today. Remember, don't lose faith in Jake Arrieta just yet. But thank you for listening to today's episode. I'm DeMichael Cole. Until next time, we'll see you on Locked On Grizzlies.